Times we could just give the Lord praise and know, man, that everything's going to be taken care of. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. In the 10th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse number 3. When you get there, say praise the Lord. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, with your obedience, or when your obedience is fulfilled. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your word. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit, God, and for those we've gathered here tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, God, the way that you would have us to go. Father, I pray, God, that you would enrich our spirit. God, just fill us up tonight with your word, your heavenly manna. Father, I pray, God, for those who are seeking the word tonight. I pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted. Father, I pray that you would reach down, God, and touch, intercede on each and every one, God. Those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in. Father, I pray that you would reach out right now with your healing hand of power, God, and touch them in a mighty way. We'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
I'm
going to do a little bit of different format tonight. We're going to open it up. We're going to talk about mighty through God. The apostle here addresses some situations that I believe is very relevant in the day and hour that you and I are living in. I know that Satan has always had a battlefield. Brother Jim was talking about singing on the battlefield for the Lord. And many, many times we think about that battlefield sometime as a one-on-one confrontation with the devil, and he's swinging his weapons, and we're coming against him with the weapons of warfare that God has given us. And that's the kind of thought that we have in our mind when we thought about, or we think about battling the devil. But I know that the devil changes his strategies. Amen. They are identifiable if we know the word of the Lord and if we know the will of the Lord. But I believe one of the battlefields that the devil is taking today, and one that he is really, really concentrating his efforts on, is the battlefield of our minds and of our thought process and the things that if he can put into our mind to cause us to dwell on things. Many, many times we can discourage ourselves just through the things that go through our mind and on our conscience. And many, many times that's what he likes to do. Mike likes to keep you awake at night and bring all these things to your attention. So the apostle here tells us how that we can fight that. First of all, how many knows that we're only mighty through God? Not in ourselves, amen, but through Christ we can do all things. So I'm going to open it up tonight. First of all, we understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. First of all, what are we talking about when we're talking about weapons that are not carnal? Anybody. And this is how it pertains to you tonight, so, or how it pertains to us. And I want us to be, you know, forthright tonight and begin, you know, not to have any reservations of talking about these things, because I really believe that it will be strength for us to realize what we have within us and have that ability to fight against the devil when he brings all of these things. And they're going to be mentioned here, and we'll take them kind of one at a time. But first of all, what are our weapons? Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. What's the apostle talking about when he talks about that? Okay, first of all, what does carnal mean? Carnal is earthly. Carnal is of the world. So our weapons are not of this world. Any kind of weapon that you think about. We see the mass shootings today. We see all the things that are transpiring in the world today. And Satan is loving all of that. And you know, and it's not just the weapons. It's the weapon that he comes against our mind. And he instills these things into our mind and into our heart and makes people do things that ordinarily they wouldn't do. So we need to understand and recognize that. And how do we fight satanic powers? Through the Spirit, okay? I heard that. Something else? Any? through faith, through the power of God, and through spiritual. Our weapons are spiritual, and they're mighty through God. So we're not fighting the devil by ourselves. We're no match for him by ourselves. But with God, amen, and his spirit within us, we are more than able to defeat Satan in any way that he comes. So we're mighty through God. And then he talks about the pulling down of strongholds. First of all, what are strongholds in our life? Anybody ever had to battle any strongholds? In your mind? Certainly. How about the lack of faith? How about problems in our life? How about problems in our where we work? Situations that arise. Many, many things. You tell me some of the strongholds.
Fear.
All right. Fear is a great one. Let's take fear. What is fear? Somebody once said fear is anti-faith. You know, if we have faith to believe, then that should wipe away that fear. So we don't fear Satan when we have God on our side, because we are more than able. Let's be like the two spies that saw the opportunity rather than the obstacles. Okay, so fear is one thing. How do we pull down strongholds of fear? Okay, what are we talking about when we're talking about fear? We're talking about natural fear. We're talking about fear of failure. We're talking about the fear of not fitting in. Are we talking about the fear of not making heaven our home? When I was a young boy, sometimes late at night, and this was on my mind. You know, if I die, you know, I don't think I'm going to heaven, because I hadn't been born again. There was something that was holding me back from going to the altar. I knew I needed to go to the altar, but I wasn't ready to make that commitment. So I wasn't ready really to give my life to Jesus wholly. I was okay going to church. I was okay sitting under the preacher, and I even sung and stuff like that. But as far as dedicating my life to him, I wasn't ready. And most of the time when that would bother me was at night when I'd try to go to sleep, and I'd think, you know, that fear that if I died and never woke up another time, then I wouldn't make heaven my home. And you know, that fear was on me for a long, long time. But can I tell you, the night that I got Jesus in my life, amen, that fear was gone. That was a stronghold in my life that was pulled down by the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. But now there are other fears even after we've been saved, even after we have the Spirit of the Lord in our life. So what are some of the fears that cause strongholds in our life? Fear of failure. Okay, what is the fear of failure? What?
Failure.
The failure. Failure in life, failure in pleasing someone. What are some of those things that we have to deal with? Does anybody have any trouble with failure or the thought of failure? How about a thought of not pleasing someone? The thought of upsetting someone? Failure in those, you know, failure to be the Christian. You know, Satan likes to get on our case about that too. I don't know about you, but Satan likes to bring up stuff, amen, in my past. He likes to drag up stuff like, and I likened it one time to a puppy. You know, a puppy sometimes will find anybody and everybody's trash and bring it into your yard. And, you know, that's the way Satan is. He wants to drag all of this stuff up from your failures from the past, the things that you messed up on, and all your inadequacies, and he wants to bring them, and he wants to hold you down, because he doesn't want you to live in victory. He doesn't want you to operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God. So he brings these things to our attention. So these things can become strongholds. And I talked about one time in a message about strongholds and about how they're built up. So many times they're not built up all at once. Sometimes they're built up over a period of time. Think about a brick wall, if you would. And you lay one round at a time, and then over your life period, so many times, so many years go by, and you're making that wall higher and higher and higher. And that wall can be the fear of failure, the fear of not fitting in, the fear of not making heaven your home, or the fear of not pleasing God, whatever that fear is, and it begins to break that stronghold. But the Apostle Paul said, here we can break those strongholds down. Only through God can we break those strongholds down. Does anybody would like to share a testimony of a stronghold in their life that they've been able to overcome with the power of God? Anyone tonight? Brother Terry.
Smoking.
Smoking, okay.
I smoked for over 51 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit 500 times. But one day, I quit, and the Lord helped me quit. But I had a fear of getting cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Just all come down to that one day. Now I ain't feared nothing.
Praise God. Because that stronghold has been torn down. That stronghold, if it became a stronghold in your life, it became an obstacle. An obstacle can be anything. Anything that hinders us from really completely, giving our whole life to God, our whole spirit and everything, can become a stumbling block. And also, it can come into being a stronghold. So we need to understand how to pull down those strongholds. Anybody else want to testify about a stronghold in their life? Okay, how about casting down imaginations? What does that mean to you? Casting down imaginations. How many knows that we've got power to cast down imaginations? You know, imaginations is what? Things that go on in your mind. What is the saying? An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know. Our playground, yeah, that's kind of a saying that we talk about so many times. So we need to understand to keep our mind on the Lord and keep our heart and our soul exactly where it needs to be with the Lord. One place tells us that imaginations basically is anything that is disruptive to God and His service. Anything that is disruptive to God and His service. And amen, how many knows the devil loves to operate in that field today? Anything he can do to upset God's service, anything he can do to upset the kingdom of God, upset people, upset churches, upset things that are ministries in the house of the Lord, anything that he can do, if he can sow discord, if he can spread gossip, if it can cause someone to get to the point of disappointment and discouragement and want to quit, all of those things the devil can do. But we have the ability to cast down those imaginations, and not only those imaginations, but every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, he addresses some things here that's basically directed to the church. And, you know, many, many times the church kind of sits back and we get in our cocoon and we worship God and we praise God and thank God that we live in a nation where we have the freedom, amen, to believe as we want to and to worship the Lord as we want to. But the Apostle Paul is addressing some things to the church that we need to understand, that we need to cast down these imaginations, not just talk about them, not just accept them as they are, because, you know, when we accept those things as they are, sooner or later they become the norm. You know, we talked about this in our men's brotherhood that we learned from a very, very aged and learned granddad that somebody was telling me about. His saying was, whatever this generation accepts becomes the normal for the next generation. Right. Think about that for the last 10, 20, 15 years ago, that how many things that was accepted, and now they have become the norm. Amen? They become the norm of the things that we allowed, that the church has allowed, and when we allow those, they become regular things in our life. So we need to understand that we can cast down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do we bring in our captivity of thoughts? Can our thoughts be captive to us? Can we control our thoughts? Anybody? Nobody. It is a constant battle. But we can be able to control our thoughts, or at least to reel them in. You know, we can reel them in. Here it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ is the most important thing that we can do. We need to understand how to obey Him in every facet or every avenue of our life. And then there's verse 6, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Man, there's a lot of disobedience going on in the world today. But I'll leave it with this. I think so many times the church just kind of turns our head, turns our eyes to things that are going on in the world. As long as it doesn't affect me, then I'll just let it go. But according to the apostle, we are supposed to stand up for God, His precepts and His statutes, amen, and not allow these things to go on in our life or around us. We don't need to accept them. We don't need to condone them. And for certainly, we do not need to compromise the forces of evil that are in the world today. So we need to stand strong in the faith that God has given us and be mighty through God. Amen. And I believe that we can be mighty through God. I want to be stronger in God. I want to be stronger, not only to realize these things, but, amen, to be able to stand up against these things. It won't be a popular thing. Amen. In fact, you might be scorned, you might be ridiculed, amen, but be able to call those things that they are. They're against God, against His Word. We cannot condone them. We cannot accept them. And we need to preach against that, and we need to stand for the Lord. Amen. And we can be mighty through God, even though the odds are not in our favor. The odds were certainly not in the favor of David, was it? Amen. But God gave him strength, and he was mighty through God. Can you think of any other examples in the Bible where great strength or great ability came through God to a human being to be able to do what God had called them to do? Samson. Okay, Samson was a, you know, a lot of people, I think, pictured Samson as somebody like Charles Atlas or Arnold Schwarzenegger or some big person like that. I don't know that that was the case. I believe he probably may have been an ordinary man, but the extraordinary power that God gave him and the ability to do the things. If you never read the stories and the exploits of Samson, he was mighty through God. But when he tried to take things into his own hands, and when he disobeyed the word of God, he became weak as other men were not able to do anything else. So that lets me to know it was not in his human strength, it was not in his power, but his might, his strength, and his power came through God. And folks, we can be that way too. If we're submissive to God and obedient to God, God can work through us, and we can be mighty through God. Anybody else? Can you think of any other examples?
David with Goliath.
David with Goliath, certainly. A ruddy little youth came to fight Goliath, a great big champion, amen, of the Philistines. But it wasn't in his power. He said, "You come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you where? How? In the name of the Lord." And David was mighty through God. Anybody else? I'm sorry? Absolutely, absolutely. The prayer he prayed, you know, "God, give me the wisdom to govern this people, thy people." And he knew it wasn't within himself, but he became mighty through God, and God was able to use him. So many times, different situations, Elijah, Elisha, many, many times, Isaiah, all of these wonderful prophets, David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Joshua around the walls of Jericho, you know, all of those needed the power of God. And you might say, well, they were exceptional people. Not really. They were just ordinary people that God would have the ability to use. And even in the New Testament, Peter and John, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk." They couldn't have done that within themselves. They were mighty through God. And God has instilled in us that same power and that same might to be able to do this. Because we don't walk in flesh, and we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or not earthly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me address a little bit of the imagination. One thing that I've learned that Satan likes to do is he likes to let our minds wander even when we're in the house of worship. Even when we're worshiping and praising God and we're supposed to be giving our time and our audience to the Spirit of the Lord, many, many times Satan will creep in and he'll say, "Oh my goodness, you know, it's Monday, you're going to have Monday morning and you got all those things to do and all those problems, all those situations." And he has a way, amen, of making us get our mind, we're not really doing it intentionally, but he does it just a little bit of time just to get our mind kind of off of worship and praise. And many, many times it hinders the service. You might say, "Well, it doesn't hinder nobody but me." It can. It can hinder the entire service. If somebody's mind is wandering and they're thinking about other things or they're fidgeting around and really not in focus to the will of the Lord and to the power of God. So we need to be able to address that and say, "Lord, you know, clear my mind, purge me, cleanse me of all of that, Lord, and help me to focus on you and on your power and on your word." Because that's where we get our strength from, is the word of God. So all of these things go hand in hand. And I'm not going to keep us long tonight. I actually thought that maybe I'd get a little bit more response from some, but that's okay. I just wanted to let us know that we do not have to be Satan's punching bag. Okay? So many people just they take. But you know, we don't have to take that. You know, we are the sons of God. We are the children of God, and He has instilled with us. He said, "We have received power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us." So don't stand there and be the devil's punching bag. Don't let him beat you up. Don't let him make you feel that you're inferior. Don't let him make you feel that you are a failure, that you can't do this or you can't do that. What is Brother Tony's favorite scripture? Where's Trey? What's your daddy's favorite scripture? "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Amen. Have that mindset. Have that power. And know that we do have that power. Amen. To overcome. Yes, sir. Amen. That's a wonderful story, and you know, David couldn't understand why the other Israelites were not taking the battle to Goliath. You know, I mean, you know, he knew that the power of God was on their side. Anyone else tonight? Yes, ma'am. Sister Joanne. Amen. That's so wonderful. It's so true. And these are our weapons, those words of promise that we can always revert to the Word. We can always look in the Word of God and find that strength and power. He was talking about Satan's ability to, and how he likes to cause division. You know, the Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you've ever seen any of the National Geographic, what does that prey do, that lion? What they do is cause division in that herd. As long as the herd is staying together, that it's more difficult for them to go in and take somebody, take one of them out. But if they can cause division and cause that herd to separate, then they'll go after one of the weakest ones or one of the ones that's not able to keep up with the herd. And Satan and his antics is very similar to that. He'll cause division. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Sure. It's very real. It is very, a phobia is very, very real. Some people, oh, just don't worry about it. They haven't faced that fear. Amen. And true, you know, you can pray one for another, but that can become a stronghold in your life. That can become such a stumbling block and can cause you not to enjoy life as you need to. Yeah. Well, like I say, it's easy for somebody who doesn't have that phobia to tell you or somebody else that does have that phobia, I'll just shake it off. You know, it's not going to bother you. You know, just like I had an aunt who was terrified of going up in the mountains. I mean, if the car even seemed like it was getting close to the shoulder of the road, she would just be panicking. I mean, and, you know, they would just kind of laugh it off. And her husband would do it on purpose. But you could see the panic in her eyes. And I thought, you know, that's horrible to go through life with that type of fear, of whatever that fear is. And, you know, whether it's a physical fear or a spiritual fear, some people are so afraid that they're going to get sick. They're going to catch something, or you know, and they don't even want to be around anybody else or what. And you know, Satan can use those things. And what it does, it creates these strongholds in our life. So I'm just saying that the Bible has an antidote for it, okay? The Bible has a fix for it. And it says that we're mighty through God, even pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, and taking all of these things that come against us, we're able to fight them through the power of God. If nobody else has anything, I'm gonna try to sing a verse here. And you sing along with me. It's page 141. You know, David wrote, "Search me, O God." And this is a song that says, "Cleanse me." Because I want God to cleanse me of all of those phobias, cleanse me of all of those imaginations, those strongholds that build up in my life, so I can have the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I don't know if I can do it without a key or not. But it's 141. You singers, help me. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." Let's do verse 4. "O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead." That's a beautiful, beautiful song, and even a greater, greater meaning if we sing that in truth. "Lord, cleanse me and purge me. Search me and know me. All the things that are ungodly, purge them from my life." So if you'd stand tonight, and we're going to ask, if you have a need tonight, if you want to be stronger in a certain area, if you have strongholds in your life, you don't even have to confess them tonight. If you want to come down, we'll pray for you and we'll pray with you. Or if you have things, amen, that you're battling, we'll pray with you. Amen. Sister Linda, you need prayer? All right. A prayer cloth? Okay.